Welcome to everyone. I know it's very cold. It's difficult for people to move out of the houses. But here in Parliament, we start working very early. So I think my colleagues are used to the weather. We are also trying to keep well by waking up very early and take some a few exercises and then come to work. Why, Mr. Robson, don't you do that?
No, straight from bed into the car and shower cap. But I'm inspired by your exercising, so let me take a leaf out of your book.
Maybe I do them in the bedroom, don't worry. Yeah. Welcome, everybody. Let us go to the second item here of apologies.
Thank you, sir. We have an apology from Honourable Pat Soyou. She has an engagement at her constituency office, hence she could not be available for this meeting.
Is the apology accepted? That is the only apology so far. What? Yeah, it depends. If you don't accept it, you say that and we're going to record. No, no, we are not compelled to accept it. If you think that it's unfair, you can always say whatever. Let's go to item 3. Is she? Who ten now? Is she? The third item is the deliberations on the summit with stakeholders on the South African Law Reform Commission Report Project 107 on sexual offences, adult prostitution. That is going to be the briefing by the senior researcher.
Thank you, Chairperson. So, honourable members, good afternoon. I'm going to be talking to the work that the Multi-Party Women's Caucus has done in relation to sex work to date. Once I'm done, the committee secretary and content advisor will speak to the report of the summit on sex work. So just to remind the House that we had hosted the summit on sex work on the 5th of March in this year, and the purpose of this was to elicit public participation on whether or not to decriminalize sex work, as well as to hear inputs on the South African Law Reform Commission's report on sexual offences and adult prostitution. So what I'm going to present is the history of some of the Women's Caucus's work on the issue, and the purpose at the end of our presentations will be for the honourable members to take a political decision as to what the recommendations of the report would be, because the report that will be presented to you does not have recommendations as yet. So just to start with some background to the...
I don't know, sorry, do you have the document, members? Yeah, the other members? That's the document she's talking to. The deliberations on sex work summit. Have you got that? Yeah. So you can carry on.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm going to start with the background to the Multi-Party Women's Caucus's engagement on sex work. And just to say that this actually started in the fourth parliament when the former Women's Caucus had started a process of engaging on the issue of sex work with a view to looking at what was the role of parliament and what was the role of the Women's Caucus in this regard. This work was then carried over to the fifth parliament, and at the 2015 Women's Parliament it was noted that the criminalisation of sex work resulted in a situation that encouraged the exploitation of sex workers and that Parliament should work to address this. At the Women's Parliament in 2016, the matter was raised again, and the report of the 2016 Women's Parliament notes that the decriminalisation of sex work needs to be prioritised. Decriminalisation has significant advantages for protecting the rights of sex workers and facilitating their access to services. Further, the report noted that decriminalisation enables those who choose sex work as a profession to have the right to do so and is a way of protecting their bodily integrity and autonomy. After the 2016 Women's Parliament, a resolution was adopted, in fact, at the Women's Parliament that said that sex work should be decriminalised, and the Women's Caucus was tasked with taking the matter forward. Over the course of the last 3 years, the Women's Caucus has engaged extensively on the different legislative options in relation to policy reform on sex work. Briefly, there are four options that the Women's Caucus has engaged with, and these are option one, full criminalisation or prohibition, which is the current legal model, where criminalisation entails the prohibition of receiving money or goods in return for sex. Option two that we looked at was partial criminalisation, which is the model used in countries like Sweden, Norway and France, where selling sex is not illegal, but many activities related to the sale of sex are. So, for example, in the Nordic model, buying sex, so the client is criminalised. In terms of option three that we looked at, is legislation regulating sex work. And in terms of this option, sex work is regarded as a legal occupation but can only be performed under special laws and regulations. So the state then creates certain controls over sex workers that differ from other forms of employment. For example, they can only work in certain areas, they must have regular health examinations, and they must register as a sex worker. Option four that we looked at was full decriminalization. And in terms of this option, decriminalization removes the criminal sanctions and regulations around consensual adult sex. Importantly, for option three and four, we looked at how all the laws that apply to child sex work, trafficking, forced labor, and sexual coercion would still be in place. So decriminalization thus entails a distinction between those engaged in voluntary sex work and those who are forced into sex work. We then had the South African Law Reform Commission develop their position paper on sexual offences and adult prostitution. And just to say that the history to this was that some of the civil society organisations had registered concern in this regard, noting that the process had been underway for many years without an output on the part of the SA Law Reform Commission. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus had been engaged with both the Law Reform Commission and also the Deputy Minister of Justice to ask that the process be expedited, and the report was then released on the 26th of May 2017. The report essentially is built upon four pillars. Chapter 1 looks at the overview of the legislation, the overview of the investigation conducted by the SA Law Reform Commission. Chapter 2 deals with issues pertaining to those who sell sex and includes a discussion of the associated theoretical approaches. Chapter 3 deals with those who purchase sex work and the different theoretical approaches. And Chapter 4 then deals with third parties with a specific focus on the beneficiaries of sex work. The Commission considered the four alternative legal options that I had talked to earlier. And they then came up with the recommendation of a legislative option of total criminalization, which is the current legal situation, and also that of partial criminalization with the option of diversion. The option of total criminalisation was the preferred option put forward by the SA Law Reform Commission. The SA Law Reform Commission also included two proposed draft amendment bills to the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act. And these amendments are based on the models of partial criminalisation and that of total criminalisation with diversion. So just to sum up the process of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus to date, the caucus has had a number of meetings and consultations on the issue of sex work with a view to hearing the views of all the stakeholders and the public at large. This has been done so as to determine the legislative option most suited to the South African context. In last year, on the 17th of August 2017, the Women's Caucus hosted a meeting on sex work with related stakeholders. The decision of this meeting was that the Women's Caucus would just support a stance of decriminalization, but a decision was not taken as to whether this would entail full decriminalization or decriminalization with regulations. Once the South African Law Reform Commission put its report in the public domain 9 months later, the Women's Caucus decided that it would host a summit on the matter, both to engage in consultation with the contents of the report, but also to once again open up a platform for public comment. So the findings that the Committee Secretary and Content Advisor will talk to in the report of the summit, and as I indicated, the formal recommendations to that report would need to be made by the honourable members. Thank you, Chairperson.
That is the deliberations on sex work summit. Can we have anyone who would like to ask questions of clarity or so that we can get into discussions? Okay. Questions of clarity first. Okay.
No, sir. I thought we'll tackle them with the report.
Yeah.
Let them present the report and then we'll tackle them.
That's what we want to do.
Yes,
we thought we need clarity on this particular area.
No.
Then we are going to allow for Pampela to give us our content person, the briefing by the content advisor on the draft program of the summit with stakeholders. Pampela, you may come in.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you. I don't think you noticed me earlier. I just wanted to make an observation that in this first, this document, the overview of the submissions, Sisonke has mentioned in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that the word prostitution is regarded as derogatory and not to be recommended. But I noticed, though, that Embrace Dignity does not regard this as offensive. It is the term they have chosen. So I think we must just be aware of this, whether one uses sex work or prostitution. The NGOs have a different interpretation, whether it's a good term or a bad term.
Yes.
Just to be noticed, and I don't know what we will use as a committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. Good afternoon, honorable members. I am going to speak to the draft report, but I am not going to go through the whole report. I'm just going to delve into summarized points on what transpired during the summit. As Joy has already mentioned, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus hosted the summit on the 5th of March. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus had wanted to host this summit in October, November 27, but a number of critical stakeholders pleaded for more time, and it was agreed that it should be hosted in March 2018. In preparation for the summit, the committee released a number of media alerts to inform everyone interested about the summit. Stakeholders were asked to submit their written presentation in before the date of the summit. In total, we received a total number of 62 written submissions. 30 of those stakeholders availed themselves for oral presentation on the day of the summit. When we were compiling the report, we sort of grouped the presentation according to the particular support, as mentioned by U John. Out of the 62 written submissions and oral presentation, because when we were compiling the report, we looked at both the written and oral submissions. So out of the presentations that we received, on my computer now, 32 stakeholders, out of the 62 presentations we received, 37 stakeholders voiced their support for full decriminalization of sex work. 14 stakeholders supported continued criminalization, that is the current status quo. 6 stakeholders were of the view that partial criminalization is the way to go. 3 organizations were of the view that the current status quo should be coupled with the diversion as recommended in the South African Law Reform Commission. 2 stakeholders did not voice any preference, but they just commented on the quality of the report by the South African Law Reform Commission. The Law Reform Commission was presented on the day by Ms. Darlene Clark, and she reported that the Ministry of Justice was currently evaluating their recommendations, and she promised that the Department of Justice will table a draft legislative proposal on the second year of 2018. In summarizing and in giving percentages, the number of stakeholders who supported full decriminalization was 59.6. Those who supported continued decriminalization was 22.5. Those who supported partial crime is 9.6. Those who said criminalization coupled with diversion, the percentage is 4.8. And the remaining percentage, accounting for the 2 stakeholders who did not have any preference. On the day, it was agreed that the steering committee will just engage with the stakeholders and sort of sit together and come up with a way forward to craft which legislative reform to go with, taking into consideration that the Multi-Party Women's Caucus has already voiced its support for full decriminalization, as well as taking into consideration the parliamentary resolutions that Joy talked about. So today is about deciding, making observation about the summit and crafting a way forward. Thank you very much.
Maybe we can hear from the steering committee now.
Thanks, Chair. I think one of the things that came out very clear was that there is still a need for discussion on the matter in terms of convincing other people, because there were a lot of those that were against, they were very harsh, if one has to say, and those that were were for, they were passionate, and in such environment, Chair, there is a need for discussion, and you remember even in the general members of parliament. There was an issue that we have to engage further on the matter. So, Chair, I want to propose if members will allow that, we note the report, but taking further discussions on the issues, so that we are able to come up with the law that is representative, fairly representing the views of South Africans. And Chair, particularly because if you listen to the recommendation of the panel, the high-level panel, where it's were criticized as Parliament, that most of legislation, they are short of people-centered or driven approach. So we have to then take this matter, continue with participation until we feel that we're converging as society. Thank you very much, Chair.
Macheke. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the report. I just want to find out, Chairperson, because at the end of the previous summit, there was a view that there must be extensive meetings within the rural areas, deep, deep rural areas, and deep informal settlements where there are a lot of people who are poor, whom you find that they are their children are the ones that become sex workers also. So I want to find out how far has that taken place? How many areas have been reached? Because we don't want a situation where you call a meeting in a room like this and say you have reached the stakeholders. We want a situation where you go to rural areas and then we hear the voices of the people before we can make any decision. I sort of agree with what the Honourable Member has just said, but mine is just to make sure that we go and reach the very, 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 very rural people, not the ones in towns, and then we come up with a report that this is the view of the people when we actually have not reached even 20 million of our people in the country. Thank you, Chair. That's it.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with my colleagues that we're making laws not for ourselves, but for the country, and we have to make sure that there's the representation of our country is really widespread. If we're saying we are representing the country, it should be that way. The first meeting that we had in E249, I asked the question, what constituency are we talking about? I mean, the numbers. And we were told about 125,000 people we are dealing with. So, based on the reports that we have that were submitted to Parliament, it means that there's not widespread. You know, it's not the representation of the whole country. And we know as legislators that there are some of the legislations that we have passed in this Parliament are not implemented. And a lot of people come back and complain that we tried to echo our views, but you never gave us time. And this thing of, you know, the only people who can come to Parliament, Chairperson, are the ones who can afford flight tickets, are the ones who can afford transport to come to Parliament. But the real people who really matter, and the people that we are going to go back and say to them, vote for us because we're doing A, B, C, D for you, are the people who cannot come to Parliament, who are the people who cannot echo their views. So I would suggest that if we really want to say this is really clear representation and the demographics of the country are really taken serious, is for us to make it a point that we go to different provinces, get as many submissions as possible, and like Honorable Semenya has said, let's note the report as it was given to us. I think we are making a clear ground. We are breaking ground. Is that the English word? And Chairperson has really worked hard for us to get into the report that we have right now. And we really need to congratulate you, Chairperson, for the efforts that we have made to make sure that we at least, as the fifth parliament, Brian, my team. Brian, they are coming, my name, I ask you to thank you, Chairperson.
Asihlebi intwana ibesithetha ngesomething sokumamela.
Unimamele. Oh. Ewe, that's why ndijonge umntu amehlo ndifuna ndimamele. So I'm saying thank you very much for us to have pushed. So as the fifth parliament we at least have a report. But the report we can't go out and say this is representing South Africa until we get the views of the people in South Africa as a whole. Then we can then say that we can go, we have the guts to actually start a bill and have an act at the end. But for now, we have not done enough. Thank you very much.
Who's on call? I don't know the name. Ngwenya. Yes, you may come in.
Ngosi Chair. I think I will also echo the same sentiment because my concern here is that we do not want to be in a situation where we sit here and discuss things and come up with legislations that at the end of the day, the people we are representing will not be happy and will still go back with the same current situation they are facing. We must remember that the people we are talking about now, they represent almost 40 to 45% of our population. And we must make sure that their views are covered totally. So I agree with the honorable members that let us not rush into making decisions and legislations before we make sure that everyone is covered. This is a very good initiative, and we want it to go on for decades. What we are doing here is something that will also represent generations to come. So I am pleading that let us consider, yes, we consider the report and we receive the report, but let us go into more deliberations about this and make sure that we cover. Because what are people in the outside there are crying about is that we are always sitting here talking about them without them. And they need to represent themselves. We must not take them as faceless people. So I agree with what the honorable members have said, and I truly agree that at the end of all the deliberations and public participations and informing people of what is going on here, we will come up with good legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Mrs. Robertson.
Thank you, Chair. I must say this process was started in the fourth parliament and ideally hoped that it would be completed during the fifth parliament. And we're reaching the end of the time now, so I'm somewhat disappointed. On the other hand, I have to accept what my colleagues have said, is that the full public participation has not been good enough. It's been a group of us who are passionate and who really feel strongly about these things, but many people in the public sphere are not aware of it. So I do agree that we have to take the public participation forward, and I would like to suggest that this is something that we do somewhat like the NCOP go through to all the provinces, although they don't have a portfolio committee there, but it should be done by us, that we have full participation from whatever, and that we need to really try and make this happen, because it's been going on for too long, but the effects on our people are really bad. So let's put all our energy and the energy of Parliament into this so that it can be noted that the fifth Parliament was decisive, the multi-party women's caucus was decisive, that we want a change in the status quo. And if we can do that, then I'll be happy. Otherwise, it mustn't just drift on and on forever, not for decades. But the effects must be there for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to add on the need for an extension of a inquiry into this matter based on the reason that if we check the respondents that were required by the stakeholders, which one is this one? SALRC, it's too limited. We can never arrive at a conclusion of the reliability and validity of the outcomes of the particular research. So if we proceed to the third level, we would draw a conclusion on a comparative type of study to say this was done and this was the result. On the other hand, the report was done with the other groups and this was this, and be able to can compare. And then thereafter, we will be able to can arrive at a concrete agreement on this particular matter. But most important, the stakeholders, those that are involved in this, definitely need to be given an ear. They have a voice. They have to have a voice in the whole process. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else you want to come again?
People that when you listened at the report in the last meeting, that are seen as the people who are really exploiting sex workers are the police themselves. And I think as part of our program,
alleged,
at the police, and as part of our program, we have to find a way, Chairperson, when we try, because every legislation, if we look at, talk about implementation, the enforcement, who are the people who are being alleged to be exploiting the sex workers, we have to find a way of putting them in the program so that we also hear from their side and how are they going to enforce if South Africa should decide on decriminalization, how are they going to enforce that and make sure that they protect the citizens of their country? Thanks.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, have you got something? You know, I'm sitting here listening to all the contributions, and I think they are very sensible, and I think the considerations by all the members here is they're raising valid points in terms of the population of South Africa. But one thing that we must bear in mind, it's not our responsibility as this caucus to deal with legislation. That is not our responsibility. All we can do is to table this in Parliament. And our intention was to reach all the NGOs that showed interest at that time. But if the caucus still feels that we should extend it by going to do oversight in provinces so as to reach everyone, almost everyone in South Africa, especially the rural people. And Uma Jack is quite right to say that the children, their children are the ones that are in the urban areas. They're involved in so many things. One of them is sex work. And I think they would like to know what happens to their children and the whip has already illustrated to the fact that SAPS is one of the people who are alleged to be abusing sex work instead of protecting them, and we need to reach them also. I think we've got a big responsibility as this caucus. I would really say we've done good as this caucus, and we must accept the report that comes out of that. But one thing I'm not clear about is the South African law reform, what they said in that. They said they were going to review, what did they say they were going to review? Because people keep on asking us what exactly came out of this, the South African law reform on that day. What did they say they are going to do? Because we must, I think we should make a follow-up. Because once we relax, they are also going to relax, because they haven't been assisting us in any way. We just have to run after them every time. If maybe you can clarify to us.
Chairperson, the unfortunately, the South African Law Reform Commission on that day was a little bit vague in their presentation, but they did say that they would be tabling a bill during the course of this year. Based on the report, they had included draft bills there, and that those draft bills looked at the preferred option. Number one was total criminalization, which is a continuation of what we already have. So we can expect, reading between the lines, to receive a draft bill that looks something like that. And just to say that the SA Law Reform Commission has been embarked on this process for many, many years. So they've been engaged in consultations for more than 10 years on the issue, Chair. So I think that what they had said was that we'd see legislation, and the legislation is likely to be in terms of the preferred option, which is a continuation of the current legal situation.
Can't you say sitting, Namsai? What bells?
Chair, I think I want to agree with you. You remember as they were presenting, we said we need at some point to meet with them, because their report indeed we didn't hear what they're trying to say, and so we said we need a meeting with them as ourselves and engage with that report of there, so that we understand. And because they were presenting in the summit, ourselves who couldn't, interrogate their report in the public. So we said we need the opportunity to engage with the report, because personally, standing here, Chair, I didn't know what they were saying. I can't tell you what they are saying unless if other members have heard them. So I propose that one of the way forward should be, let's call them and say, as a committee, want to deliberate on their report, we need some clarity, and then from there, with the report, then we can look even into issues of, because we don't have to wait for the legislation for enforcement. We should actually meet with the Portfolio Committee on Police and say, this is what the stakeholders have raised. We want the Minister of Police to take up the issues. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Members, I'm sitting here and I'm just like Honourable Robertson. This has been taking too long, Even before 2014, when we established this committee, you remember when there was still the Joint Monitoring Committee? We were talking about the same things. We can't be seen to be taking so long. And you can see the eagerness of these people who are involved in this. Because once they see this on the agenda, they are so eager to know, and they have confidence in us. And if we are playing this dilly-dally, what does it say about us? It's really bad, I think we should, I think I'll agree with you, Honourable Sminya, but maybe Shunega Sikipel Ninyao Nagit. Yeah, and deal with this. I hope it's noted, whoever is noted. Oh, do you believe it? because so long our father's great. I forget that he's the secretary. Okay. Is that the end of this item? Have we exhausted everything?
Yes.
Just a last little tidbit, agreeing with you wholeheartedly. Just thinking what our researcher said, SAL, the Law Reform Commission, has been busy with this for 10 years.
Mm.
Now, some of us have been around here
yes.
for longer. But I think they are just moving inch by inch and actually not moving forward. So we've got to show them that we want it to be pushed to a conclusion now. This is something that is needed. The whole climate in South Africa and indeed in the whole world has changed with regard to rape, abuse, sexual matters. And I think there's a much more enlightened attitude now, starting with the We Too and the Me Too campaigns. And this is going forward. Now, this is exploitation that is happening here too. So I think we must be decisive and bold, and we must say that we want an answer. And I hope we can do it before this term of Parliament comes to an end. But from my point of view, we need the wider communication, so a tour around all the provinces, getting meaningful engagements, and then we as a multi-party must push the Law Reform Commission and to make them look at the reality and, of course, get anybody else as well. So I just support you wholeheartedly. It's action we need, and we can't sit around and wait for people to be exploited and abused.
Mm. Yes.
In the next meeting or when we deal with this matter, we need to invite the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Police. Because the laws reform, if we're saying we're going to wait for them, like you are saying, it's going to be, we're going to wait forever. So the people who their superiors, who are actually checking they're doing the right thing, and I'm not taking us away as members of parliament because it's our duty to monitor the department. I think we need to have the ministers coming here and reporting on what is the progress, because law reform does not have a progress at all. I think the last meeting they didn't have anything that they've progressed from the meeting that we had with them from the very first time when we had a meeting with them. So I think we need to have their superiors coming into the meeting. Thank
you. Maybe one other thing is that we do so much and we are not given the opportunity. I think we should move a motion. And on the other hand, also we must have a report tabled so that you know, people who send us to Parliament would like to know what we are doing. Unless we expose them, we keep on talking in these boardrooms. If they are taking advantage of that. One of the things also is that yes, we're going to invite the minister and we'll invite the police and all the other people. I'm not sure whether that is enough, because here it comes out that we have to go to provinces. We must make a requisition to the chair of chairs or chair of the house, whoever, that as this committee, the decision that has been taken by the steering committee will state why we want to go to do oversight. Now, I'm just thinking that these are our last days, you know, of programs that as we are wrapping up this term. So when we come back in August, we're coming back in August, maybe these are one of the priorities before and right now, we should request our secretary to write a letter on behalf of the caucus that we would like to have a whatever they can call it, what do they call it, oversight, a talk, or what is it called? Is Ngesi's better as a parliament? Oh, it's oversight, and that's our responsibility. We haven't gone overbound. We are doing exactly what we are supposed to do. Yeah. The reason being all the other things that we have said. We think it's not enough for us to sit here, and the people who have sent us here, we haven't reached them, and we think we should go out there and have meetings and where we can talk to our people outside parliament, you know. Honourable Robinson, I'm thinking of the olden days when we used to have what was it called? By the GCIS. What was it called? The public health that used to... What were they called? They used to assist with us that we have these... what were they called, by the way? Do you remember? No. There was a name. Outside, when we did our oversight. No, it was done by DCIS on behalf of the government. Yeah, the Bezos. The Bezos. Yes. That's the word I wanted. Because in such things, the areas, that approach used to have a lot of people coming. Yes.
Just to respond on the word oversight, I don't think that's good enough. Because oversight implies that there are people who've got responsibility,
yes,
and you're checking up on them. What we're actually doing is a public inquiry. And we are trying to elicit the support and the opinions of people. So there may be another term that you can use, and perhaps the Mbizo will be right. But what we also need is really, like, you know, to get petitions out and to get people to be informed about what we're doing. And then let's come together, and we're there to interrogate what is happening, what the opinions of the people are on the ground. So you may have another way of putting it, but I don't think oversight is the only thing, because there's nobody who's doing this job.
Yeah.
It's ours.
Thank you. Okay.
No, Chair, I thought you have clarified that Mbizo, you have corrected it. Mbizo, it can be a public inquiry or Mbizo or meeting, fact-finding mission,
yeah,
something like that.
And
but one of the things that we should actually have is the model of other countries as we're going to debate, as we go into the provinces, because we need to guide how, because they are going to ask people, those that as you approach them, they want to know in other countries how do they handle such matters. So we should actually look even into that models of other countries.
I'm happy that we are tapping on that, and that will be towards when I'm not here. And maybe somebody else will be the chair, because I know we are heading to the other thing that Utseke and Tansim. It's a study tour, or something like that. Is that the word that we are looking for? Yes, a study tour. Yeah. Yes.
If other countries have really practiced this, or they've agreed to decriminalize it, we need to go and see how they're working out, so that it can actually inform the legislation and actually say, this is where we went, we can see that it's working, and where it's not working practically or the way we want it to work, we also come up with those experiences, you know, and then come up here and then write a proper report.
You wanted to say something, Zach?
by the two last speakers, Chair. I wanted to raise the very same matter of the study too. And bearing in mind that, you know, when we're dealing with those, the public hearings, there were a few members from the NCOP who have raised the matter in depth, saying that they've went to other countries, though they've not yet reported. But we can't blame them because they report directly to the NCOP. So I was asking myself to say, yes, the matter is before us as the multi-party committee, but we have not exhausted all the avenues in terms of your consultations. So basically that was my recommendations to say, let's go out and see how other countries is dealing with the matter. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. You know, I know that I'm coming to you, Chair. The other members that are in the NCOP, maybe we can discuss this at another stage. Because they are members of this committee. They are not, you know, they are standalone. These are some of the things I think we have to straighten up. Because it can't be part of us knows and other people are stifled, you know. It cannot be. Yes, you can come in, Chair. Okay.
Members, whilst we're discussing this, can we actually take more interest in curbing the trafficking of the little girls now to go and replace the older ones in the brothels? It's a killing thing. 14-year-olds are being trafficked. So whatever we do, let's not forget that. And it's not only the girls, even the little boys.
You know, if I remember very well, in that summit, a lot of people spoke about trafficking.
Mm.
Maybe we should have captured some of the... Because I was very much, I was fascinated because the issue of trafficking, you know, Honorable Robertson, when we spoke about it some 10 years, 12 years down, it was like we are talking about, something that people have never... And we said South Africa is being used and for transit, you know. And such a lot of things are happening here. And I always say I was very much surprised at one stage. There was a minister of Lesotho who denied in Mozambique. We had a summit there. And who said, no, they don't know anything about trafficking. They are not involved in this. And there are people are being trafficked from South Africa here. And you see, if we think we keep quiet about these things, people are so vague and they just look, you know, at themselves. They don't care about me. We mustn't be part of that. Honestly, I think we should, Honorable Memela is right. We should also note the issue of trafficking because it is happening and it's escalating. Yeah, and we don't have a specific law on this. And Sangoko has made such a, you remember, made such a big noise about this that I don't know what happened. I think we should go, Joy, we should bring this issue of trafficking back and then we deal with it alongside.
I wanted to say that Umam Memela is right, but if you remember in the last, the other meeting was taken decision about the issue of women trafficking. We even said that we need to engage over public works because of these ports of entry. That's where the most of activity takes place on home affairs. We said we needed to engage with them. I think it should be in our program if Joy still remember. So I wanted to say that we've dealt with it, and probably we should actually finalize the program, because we have a mandate, and it's from the women, but they want to be part of drafting the program. In the last meeting of members, they were saying that what the legacy that this committee must leave is a solid program for the coming parliament. The sixth parliament. We should go into a strat plan which will develop a program and actually hand it over to parliament. This is what the women are saying. And then the next people, they must actually take it up. And then we can then, with the last time that we have identified issues, because we have already agreed with the issues of violence against women, that it should be our program as we go out of the fifth parliament. So I think those are the things that we can just finalize them and tighten up.
Yeah. I don't know whether other people were listening to the TV this morning. The Deputy Minister of Justice said something, you know, about the violence against children and what. And people were so mad with him. I don't know, what did he say? And so I think some of these things, I think we should really take them up, because it's one of the things that we are talking about, Chairperson. I agree with, I think we are going to take this upon us too. And we'll deal with this, and the next time when we come back, we'll prioritize all this. Yeah. And that's where we are now. On the fourth item here is the briefing by IEC on initiatives to implement gender quotas in view of upcoming elections. If you remember what happened when the IEC was here last time. Yeah. There's a document here. No? Who's going to do pumping? Seem to be frustrated. You want to say something, Zach, about the IEC? Babeluti? No, I want to explain. Yeah, we had invited the IEC, but I don't know. Mina, I've got, there is something that they said to the secretary. Maybe he's going to explain. But I got a call, Mina. I think just a few hours ago, I think it's four hours from now, from Janet Love, if some of you remember her. She's a commissioner most now in the IEC. She was apologizing that they meant to come to this meeting, and something that's just cropped up. They were told that the president is inviting them for something. They must go to the president in Pretoria, I think. And when they were preparing themselves to go there, all of a sudden, I think the president is engaged in some, so it spoiled the whole day for them. They can't travel to Cape Town. So she apologized and said, they would like to come. And, you know, in my mind, when I spoke to Janet Love, I said, if we had Janet Love at the beginning that day, I think we could have had a good discussion, because I think most of you know her. She's privy to all these things. She was a member of parliament
and she knows, and she's a gender activist also. So I don't know which response did the secretary get, but that is the apology I got personally. So we don't have them here because we're going to raise several things that we thought we should about the Independent Electoral Commission, what their institution stands for and everything, so that the other day, the way the approach that, is it their CEO? What's his name again? Yeah, that guy. And he's quite long in the IEC, that guy, yes. So, but he disappointed us, you remember, because he just pushed that aside, you know, as if, no, we're talking about a strange thing. Yes, we know other people have got their own reasons about the quotas, but we don't expect them, you know, to just to deal with issues in that manner. So I don't know, Secretary, before anybody comes in, did they give you a different day? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in response to our invite, I think in our invite we're clear that in terms of the last engagements we had with them, is that we had said that in terms of Section 5 of the Electoral Act, they are expected to initiate legislation which seeks to promote the elections process. Hence, we had said that we would want them to at least initiate something in terms of achieving the 50-50. In the last meeting, they had indicated that political parties, many of them, were against legislating on the issue of gender quotas. The meeting had then indicated that it's also the responsibility of individual members of the caucus to then interact with their respective political parties. That was then agreed in the meeting that members should also go back to their political parties and engage on the issue of legislating on gender quotas. But then when they came back to in response to our invitation, they said no, they had not done anything. They had not moved in terms of trying to then propose legislation on the issue, because they felt that it's actually the responsibility of members of the caucus to go back to their political parties and have the political parties agree to this. But then we had also highlighted to them, but as much as it's the responsibility of the members, they are actually, in terms of the enabling legislation, responsible for initiating such. So they cannot then abdicate their responsibility in terms of the legislation. Hence, I think they came back to the chair with the I'm not sure whether they were then going to come, but then we had said that, no, the chair indicated that you should still come and indicate what you are saying to the caucus, then members will make their input as to what is their expectation from the IEC. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Ridiculous response that because, you know, this issue of the 50-50, people are making it as if it's an ANC thing only. But it is a UN, you know, mandate that was passed in the CSW. But I don't know. It is disgusting that we were once, you know, we were in the forefront, you know, as South Africa. Now we are right at the tail. We are really, our progress is just retarded. We are going down. Yes, Ntabise.
Yeah,
Yeah, Jefferson, I agree with you fully. We were once one of those countries that used to be at the forefront, but we are right at the tail end. The problem, and that I want to say to maybe to Brian to give to the Home Affairs, if they say you must go to talk to our political parties, and then who goes to Freedom Front Plus? It's only men. Who's going to go there and say to them, represent women? And what is difficult with other political parties is that at the beginning, there is somewhat representation of women. But, you know, after a year, every political party is allowed to change members. But when they change members, they take out women and they don't replace them with women. And if we say we are multi-party women's caucus, but we don't talk about women's issues and actually advocate for women, then we are not doing what our mandate is actually to advocate for women. And that's why we want Home Affairs to come here. They can't tell us what to do as political parties or as politicians to go to our to IEC. They can't tell us to go to our political parties and say this view. We have agreed, Mark Robinson, we're there at CSW. Women all over the world, they are making sure that there's 50-50 representation of women. And in this country, instead of going up, we are declining and, you know, really, really, really badly, Chairperson. So I think we need to write to IEC, call them, and actually call them with Home Affairs. There's a new chairperson today that they've elected, and I hope, knowing that he's really energetic, I hope that he will be energetic enough to fight with us and make sure that before we end this term or this year, we have a legislation in front of Parliament that actually advocates for representation of women. Thanks, Chair.
I think we have been raising this matter since way back. But, and we from the committee, we have been requesting even the CGE to assist us in terms of legislating it. Because I think that as South Africa, we have not domesticated even your SADC protocol on gender that speaks to your 50-50. So we don't have any law, any legislation that compels actually other political parties to come up with a 50-50 representation. So, Che, I'm of the view that, because to me, we can initiate the legislation as members of parliament. Yeah, whatever you call it. But we can do it. As much as we see that other departments or other entities are taking the... They don't have... It's not all of us who are gender activists. But I think we've got a responsibility as a multi-party and as the portfolio committee on women. Why don't we introduce that legislation, piece of legislation? Because in the previous parliament, in the fourth parliament, we had it. We had a legislation that speaks to that. So women empowerment and gender equality bill that was speaking directly to that matter. So unfortunately, it lapsed in the fourth parliament. So we failed as the fifth parliament to reintroduce it. So I think the best way and the shorter way to deal with the matter is us as members to introduce that legislation and move forward and engage the public on the matter. Thanks.
Okay. Yes. Thanks, Chair. I just want to add that, even to remind ourselves that even the roundtable discussion that we had with women, they've raised this issue. And all of us were asking, where is that bill? And so I think let's agree with the suggestion, because the legislation is there somewhere left, and then we take it and reintroduce it as a multi-party. And then IEC will call them as part of the stakeholders and we proceed with it.
Yeah. This is a caucus. And you are quite right. The portfolio committee must do that. Yes. And
can I clarify myself? I'm adding what...
I know.
As members of parliament, we
can do that, private bills, but even portfolio committee can do that, but even ourselves.
No, but I'm also seconding you. He's quite right, because irrelevant committee to do that is in answer to what is the portfolio committee on women, for women. They can do that and revive that bill and bring it to life, so that whatever the IEC, I don't know why, you know, I just can't imagine why. You know, some of the things that are done these days, you just don't understand. Where are they heading to? Maybe we've got a new chairperson, CGE, Ululam. Yes. Maybe we can, when we've got time, we can talk to, because I'm telling you, once we get to December, we won't have any time now to do these things. We must hasten and do them now, August, September, season. Yeah. I think the issue of IEC, have we exhausted everything? You know, we have come to the end of the agenda, no? Before we go to closure, you know, I don't know what happened. I'm so happy that I saw Honorable Sibongile. She looks very, you know, she looks well. And I think, honestly, I thought she would be here. I was very happy, because the last time when the parliament was saying no, they are going to give them until December, and I know, no Mamu Wini. And all of a sudden, Mamu Wini, you know, I just thought of Sibongile. Yeah, and you know, God knows his things, or whether it's a he or a she who got law. But we are as in those eyes. Here she is, and I thought she would come here really so that we welcome her. But I don't know whether she knew about the meeting. She knew about the meeting. Okay. No, we can reach her and then said we are expecting her to attend our next meeting. She's still our deputy chair.
Yes, yes. You can organize lunch with the honorable chair.
Yeah, yeah. Next week, ne? The committees are meeting. Just establish whether she will be around. Yeah. We can organize a lunch with her. We have come to an end. What? You wanted to say something?
The point of before,
which one is that?
Oh, Chair, thanks very much for giving me this opportunity. Chair, next week we are meeting, and I think our portfolio committee has extended the invitation to the multi-party committee, the steering committee of the multi-party on Tuesday. Our agenda is we're meeting the office of the Institute Supporting Democracy, OISD, regarding your amalgamation of Chapter 9 institution.
What are you saying? The English, I didn't understand.
Oh, the English.
Said, what is happening?
The English is that we are meeting the
Who's
office.
Meeting?
The portfolio committee and the multi.
And can you come again? In a better manner.
Yeah.
No, she forgets that she's representing who.
I'm serious, my story.
You want to invite us?
I'm not inviting you.
You are part of us, actually.
Part of
what? I'm not inviting you. Surely you have received an invitation.
We haven't.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, I'll look into that. But you're supposed to be part of it.
So, Osrosina, before you leave, there's a meeting next week. Yeah, we're meeting the OISD.
Okay.
Regarding the amalgamation of Chapter 9 institution.
Oh.
Yes.
No, we don't.
No, we are not. We are not. It's part of your agenda. It's part of your items on the agenda. So it's our agenda. It's our part of our agenda. Agenda as we
yeah.
Mean. Yeah. Check.
Eh? What is this now?
What is happening now?
Hey, man. Hey. Me? Nkadi sing ngaki tibuheta lang man.
Can we listen?
Honorable Sminya, you are apologizing. We are here in the meeting. Okay, my dear. Yes. And now Nkadi sing come. Do you want to say? No, I don't know. On the agenda, what do you have, Sege, on that day? It's
a briefing by the OISD regarding the amalgamation of Chapter 9 institutions. Actually, with special reverence to the Commission for Gender Equality. Time is 9:30. To 1 o'clock.
Honorable Robinson.
Unless informed otherwise.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I think just to elaborate on what Honorable Tseke has been saying, there have been talks going on about amalgamating the HRC, the Human Rights Commission, and the Commission for Gender Justice. And this has all been done very quietly. And we have come to be aware of this as the women's portfolio. And we are, as a group, very much against this and the fact that we have not all been involved and that it's been done by a small group of high-ranking parliamentary officials. So we have asked for this to come out into the open because we feel that the Gender Commission needs to be expanded rather than reduced and because there is just so much happening in our country. So the more people who can attend, and this is why I'm just seconding their invitation, let's make this a matter of public issue. Please come and get other people to be around there so that we can take this up as an issue for women, for gender activists. We need to have the CGE be maintained and not subsumed into a minor role. Thank you.
And that's why I wanted to understand exactly. Because I think we can ask Joy to isolate issues that we had identified when we were talking. This thing is not an issue of now. You remember about Kata Asmal's report. And maybe isolate them so that it can remind us, you know, of we can create a speaking note about it for ourselves. Yeah. Okay then. Hey, everybody's just closer. What's wrong with you people? Even the meeting is adjourned. You, the secretary is just a closure.